The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all brought to you at Bar Canada at the D here in downtown Las Vegas. Bar Canada, the barrage. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Still to come this hour. You know, we will have to inject a little football in here because you know why? Mel Kiper had another mock draft.
He did.
Yes, we got to update that.
I like his. I hope it works out that
way. I do, too. I took a look at it. I'm like, this would be awesome. He had a few quirks in there, both at the top and at the bottom. So we'll talk about that. Real quick, we get tweets. This is a Tom F, T for three. Good Lord, Gil, I was listening to the Megapod, just finished it, and we have the exact final four. Two in champion. We are Dunsky. We are totally Dunsky. If you are aligned with mine, good Lord. Though I did hit the champ last year in UCO. This is from, pardon me, Jack in Prius 2.0. He says, I love the anti-Clemson and Kentucky sentiment from that last segment. Whereas Trip Tepper goes the other way on one of the things. He says, respectfully pushing back on UMBC over Virginia being a fluke. UVA's best player was injured and didn't play. UMBC won by 20 points and controlled the game from the jump. 20-point wins are not a fluke. I think they meant the characteristics of UMBC, not necessarily the quality of that specific game. But, yeah, your point is well taken. We went down the Tony Bennett rabbit hole yesterday, too, because we were like, okay. Because then you had, obviously, they got beat by a 16-seed UMBC. You saw that garbage last night. And you think about their title run. And Parles and I were texting a little last night. I remember the show we did after Virginia won the title in 2019. Just retrospective of that tournament and the unbelievable. I remember saying that day, the term team of destiny gets thrown around a lot, but I remember that year's UVA team really fit the bill because the way they won that tournament, I mean, we won't go into detail here, but the Auburn game and the Purdue game and even the Texas Tech final, like everything was just off the charts, went their way. So it does make you think about the legacy of these Virginia years. Let's talk some more college hoops, shall we? Jim Root, James Patrick Root from Three Man Weave joins us on this Wednesday before March Madness, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. And by the way, let me just say thank you, Jim, because usually you guys are very hard to get on this day. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. It's good to talk to you. Yeah, this is typically our travel day out to Vegas, but you're getting me before we head out there. I got a flight in a few hours. Can't wait to be in the mix in Vegas among the madness as it's all going on.
Where are you staying?
We are at the Flamingo for this weekend. We'll be out at Circa the following weekend, Sweet 16 and Elite 8. So, you know, they don't let us leave. They just box us in as soon as we get out there.
I like it. All right. So you guys did your own podcast. You filled out your own brackets. Give me, because Kelly and I were just talking about this with you off air. Give me the highlight.
Yeah, the highlight is that Kai and Matt are anti-UConn. They think they're terrible. They think they're awful. They're going out in the second round. I don't think that's quite their sentiment, but right. They do have UConn losing to FAU in the second round. Ow. Matt's been an FAU guy all the entire season. Kai, I think, might be picking from he doesn't want a repeat champion perspective. But yeah, I'm the rogue, the crazy guy that's picking the number one overall seed and reigning champion all the way to the Sweet 16. So call me crazy, but I do think the Huskies get there.
Okay, wait. So do you have Auburn beating them in the Sweet 16?
I do actually. So yeah. I guess all three of us are the ones that are, you know, shoveling dirt on UConn's grave prematurely this year.
Okay, but that's less controversial than Matt. I mean, Matt's not here to defend himself, but doesn't it feel like Matt's a year late on FAU? Like they're not as good this year, right?
Yeah, that's my opinion, and I think he's of the belief that they're going to be able to, you know, recapture some of the magic of the postseason. It's a very flexible, stylistic team, and perhaps the defense is trending up a little bit with some of the lineups they've been mixing in. But yeah, it does seem like teams have solved them on that end a little bit, and they've just been a little more vulnerable getting everybody's best shot this year. It's not quite the same team, despite basically being all the same players.
All right, who did you end up then in your, let's do Elite Eight, Final Four, championship and title winner?
Okay, Elite Eight in the East, top left, I've got Auburn, I've got Iowa State. I initially had Illinois on some quick reactions, and then I decided the defense just isn't good enough, and that archetype of team is pretty bad in the postseason. And then out of to the Final Four, I have Auburn. Down in the West, bottom left, I have got UNC and Baylor, with Baylor going to the Final Four. In the South, in the top right, Houston and ultimately settled on Marquette. I had a lot of back and forth with, do I have Florida upset Marquette? Do I have Texas Tech make a run there? I don't believe in Kentucky's defense, but I did settle on Marquette and Houston going to the Final Four. And then in the Midwest, bottom right, Purdue and Oregon. Oregon being my real rogue Elite Eight squad. I think they are built to make a run here with Purdue winning what I call the Maui Invitational bracket there with Tennessee, Kansas, and Gonzaga, and Purdue going to the Final Four. Champion matchup, Houston over Auburn. I'm worried about Houston's depth, but hopefully it doesn't mean as much in this particular event because of all the TV timeouts and the spacing between rounds. So the Cougars, Kelvin Sampson, they are my champion over Auburn.
Yeah, and let me just say this. We're going to have... Sorry to take a few seconds of your segment and talk about this for tomorrow. Dr. Bob will be on the show tomorrow. And if you can wait to submit your bracket till the last possible minute, because we're on just before the tournament starts, it's well worth your time, because what Jim just said, Houston winning the tournament, I know a lot of people are anti-Houston. Obviously, they just laid a complete egg in the semifinals of their conference tournament. But if you're looking to play teams to win the title, and if you're in a traditional bracket that is not upset rewarded necessarily, you just really the emphasis on getting the champion right, Houston is kind of underpicked in, like, when you look at these massive pools at like ESPN, Houston is actually in some weird way the ultimate contrarian champion at this point, which is kind of amazing because most people have them as the second best team in the country for most of the year, right?
Yeah, they're just like not as fun to watch, and they're not as much of a household name because they've been in the American until this year. Now they're in the Big 12 and starting to get there. But yeah, UConn is like way overpicked by basically every single metric in terms of, like, I think they're like 35% of Yahoo pools have them as the winner, and it's really only a 16-20% chance they win. So yeah, Houston's kind of getting the benefit of all the UConn love, and
yeah.
Even Purdue maybe slightly underpicked because of the skepticism around them, but. I'm riding with Houston, the defense, and hopefully the offense is good enough to win six games.
Enough. That's the key, yeah. And if I didn't make it clear, that's what Bob's going to talk about tomorrow, among other things. Who's undervalued, underpicked, that kind of thing, so you can be contrarian and win your pools. Okay. First of all, do you have a play, betting-wise, in any of the two first fours tonight?
Yeah, I really like Colorado. I think it's a really good matchup for them where they can negate Boise's frontline size. That's typically what Boise thrives on, is kind of matching up, attacking mismatches with 3-6-8 forwards. And Colorado's huge. I don't think you can do that against them. And then this is just a team that, preseason top 25, they had some injury issues, especially Cody Williams, the potential lottery pick. He's back healthy now, helped them out in the Pac-12 tournament. I know they lost in the final, but they looked pretty good throughout that run. I think Colorado's a team that's trending up in a solid dark horse pick to maybe win a game or two if they get through tonight.
Did you enjoy Virginia last night, by the way, Jim? I should have led with that.
Few things made me angrier, Gil. It might be the worst game I've watched all season, and I have probably watched 500, 1,000. I have no idea how many games, but it probably was the worst one I've watched.
It was horrific. Like, the second half, I was even like, why do I even have this on anymore? Because the unders were coasting. Yeah.
I was waiting to do another show until the game ended, and about 10 minutes left, I texted the guy and was like, we can start anytime you want. I don't need to watch this.
Anytime you want. All right, round of 64 bets. How many you got, and what are they?
I will start with Oregon. I already mentioned going to my Elite Eight here. I just think they're matched up pretty well against South Carolina, who is the second worst at-large team in the field per KenPom. The only one worse is Virginia, and they're not even in the field anymore. So I think Oregon, the way they're trending up and the way they're playing, starting to really mix defenses. They played 200 possessions of zone all season, and 50 of them were in the Pac-12 tournament. Dana Altman is a master of being tough to scout. This will be the first time all these South Carolina guys see them. So I think between that and South Carolina just kind of being a little overseeded at the six, I really like Oregon there, plus Dane Altman, 15-6 against the spread in March Madness. Elsewhere, I like the Kansas-Samford over. And I had some people text me about this. Oh, do you still like it with no Kevin McCullough? I almost like it more. I think it emboldens Samford to press and get up and down and play in transition more. They're not going to feel as out-talented, outclassed without McCullough out there. And Kansas is pretty willing to play that strategy. They've got guys that can break a press. DeJuan Harris, KJ Adams is probably the best passing four man in the entire country. I think they'll be willing to play up and down and try to punish the press with layups and dunks. So I think we see a very high possession game there. And then also, not even intentionally doing this, but they're all in the Midwest. The 8-9 game, TCU, Utah State. I like TCU a lot. I know they've taken money. They've been bet up a little bit, but I still think it's a pretty solid play. Utah State has not played a Power 6 opponent all season. TCU had a little lull late in the Big 12 when Ernest Uday, their Kansas transfer big man, missed some time, but he's back in there. He's a decent option against great Asabor, the Aggies big man in the middle. I think the physicality, the rigors of the Big 12 have prepared TCU for this, whereas Utah State has not given me the warm and fuzzies down the stretch, going to overtime with Fresno State twice, getting smacked by San Diego State in the semis. So I like TCU a lot there to advance and play Purdue in the second round.
All right, I'm going to finish with the two questions I ask at the end of every football megapod. I'll ask them as applied to the round of 64 in March Madness beginning tomorrow. What is the big favorite you feel is the most likely to lose outright?
In the first round, maybe Alabama, just because the defense is so terrible, and it's going to be a really high variance game between Charleston and them. Second round, I think UNC. I know the guys before me were talking about it. Mississippi State gets there. I think that's a horrible matchup for them. The physicality and can kind of match the defense of UNC. I think they'll be the first one seed to go out if Mississippi State is the opponent.
All right. And the game that you want no part of on the spread in the first round, like you're like, I'm not touching this game.
Tennessee, St. Peter's. I just have no clue how that game's going to play out, unfortunately.
Jim Root, everybody, at 3MW _CBB is Three Man Weaves, all their stuff. And, of course, Jim's at Second Chance Point with the number 2. Comes courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. Enjoy.
Thanks, guys.
Little football on the other side next. Good morning with the Daily Dose of Winning Strategies, Insider Tips, and the latest buzz with the free VSiN Daily Newsletter. Bill 80's Love Child. In today's newsletter,
the Circa College Hoops Challenge is back. Bill 80 details it today in the newsletter.
It just comes out of Bill 80's rib every morning. I think that goes. It's biblical. Get expert analysis and the latest odds delivered straight to your inbox. Absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. Gil Alexander, that is the voice of Kelly Bidlin, who took a segment off earlier to chill while I was talking to Jordan and Peter. I know you weren't chilling. You were doing graphics work back there, right?
Sure.
With so many bottles to choose from, it's easy to find your favorite all at the lowest prices for over 30 years. Find what you love and love what you find at Total Wine and More. Drink responsibly. B21. Sure.
If I go back to that back room, Gil, I'm just in their way. I'm not actually helping. I'm just in their way.
We get tweets of Beat of the Book. Jimmy Lopez. The over-under for the word spunk during JVT's segment was set at 3.5, so we need one more mention to go. I think we got the 3.
Director Matt pointed that one out, too. No. So like, I believe that's been dropped a few times.
Prime time. Cowboys _ Cubs 1. I'm sorry. Am I crazy, or am I the only one who thinks Kelly should be doing the total wine read? Gil doing a read for alcohol is akin to Todd or Bill Crackman doing a read selling yoga pants. Hey, that's not nice. There's some truth to that, though, right? He finds my total wine read inauthentic, is what he's saying. I appreciate that. Banshees of Atlantic City. I love banshees. What a great word.
Banshees.
You could say anything
City.
Like a banshee.
Right, exactly.
Got lucky, he says, on the under in the baseball game this morning. My genius as a handicapper is my careful analysis of local weather conditions without bothering to find out if the stadium is a dome or not. Where was Todd Bowles when I needed him? Do you remember that press conference where the reporter asked about it? He goes, you know, it's indoors.
We're playing inside.
Didn't
even go further than that, was he? They were playing inside and they have for 30 years or something. It was like something like that. I was like, whoa.
I thought he didn't want to embarrass her. He was like, yeah, we're
playing inside. He tried to say it as nicely as possible, but.
That was before the Lions.
Lions-Bucks.
Lions-Bucks playoff game. A Joe named Jim. Loved the content in that last segment with the underdog guys. But I feel like it was a forced promotion of DK Vison shows. He goes, like the early 80s Hanna-Barbera Saturday morning cartoons, the Mystery Machine and Speed Buggy together. Well, let me just say, I've known Peter Keating for over a decade. It had nothing to do with anything forced. I asked him on. How about that?
That's right.
Rick Olier. Guys, this March Madness talk bores me. When can we get to the Kate Middleton talk? Did you see the most recent public appearance, in quotes, he said? Hashtag let's ride, he said.
I did see a tweet on that yesterday. So what? That's the new theory, is that there is it's just like an actress that was playing her.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I was someone just like, who looks just like her.
Remember, I brought it up yesterday. Where there was like a small little snippet of video, like TMZ or whatever. I forget what it is. What is it? The Sun or whatever over in
their equivalent.
Yeah, their equivalent.
Yeah,
and I don't know. Some of these conspiracy theories lately, like we spent a lot of time on the show talking about aliens. I don't like they dug up an alien body in Mexico and presented it in front of like Congress, and everybody who like wanted to believe for decades that aliens existed are like, nah, I don't know if I believe in that now. It's like, wait, you were the guy who had a tinfoil hat on.
No, I've said this story on the air before. I said it a few months ago during football season, where I was like, I always was the guy who was like, the day that I believe in UFOs will be the day that someone I love and trust will tell me that they saw one. And sure enough, when I was married, right, my ex-father-in-law said, yeah, he played for the Skins. Yeah. He was like, when Redskin Park was out by Dulles back in the day in Virginia, there was nothing between D.C. and Dulles. And so he would drive on these just interminable road, the Dulles Access Road now, which had nothing back then. He said one day when he was leaving Redskins Park and he was driving home, in his rearview mirror, he saw this light way it passed in the distance behind him, and it swooped down on top of his car, massive light, and then swooped away off in the distance. And he told me that story. I'm the guy who was waiting for this moment to happen my whole life, and I go, in my head, I'm like, he's clearly lying. That couldn't happen.
I mean, like, how many people were like, well, we don't know anything about her until we see her, and then there's like video of her, and they're like, actress, can't be her.
I didn't believe him for a second. I'm like, that's not. He's lying to me. Oh, Tim Bowers, real quick.
People, worst invention ever.
Todd Wishnet. People, worst invention ever. Tim Bowers, as far as March Madness Survivor goes, oh, God, I'm glad you reminded me. What do you think about the strategy of taking teams you don't trust, Tennessee, Arizona, in the first round, before they inevitably flame out, could apply to teams with injury situations like Kansas, too? That's an interesting way of playing it. Again, I have said this many times on this show. Brackets, schmrackets, I believe is what my mom said when I was a wee lad. Survivor is the way to go. It is so awesome. Because, Kelly, Survivor is not just like the NFL Survivor. The NFL Survivor format is you got to basically hit a 18-team moneyline parlay without using the same team twice, or in Circa with the Thanksgiving and Christmas quirks, a 20-team moneyline parlay. It's linear.
And it takes 20 weeks.
And it takes 20
18 weeks.
Whatever. This is a bracket format, so it's multidimensional chess. Not only do you have to survive, but you have to keep teams alive so that you don't run out of them once you get to this Elite Eight Final Four championship game. So what this gentleman is, and I assume he's a gentleman. Maybe he's not a gentleman. But what Tim Bowers is saying, Tim, I'm sure you're a gentleman. He's saying, what about taking some more obvious ones early and then having everybody else flame out on them late? It's an interesting strategy. I haven't done it, but it's one way to play it. I also got Grayson Rossi listen to the podcast. By the way, the Megapod, two-hour-long March Madness Megapod. Last year, Will picked FAU to go to the Final Four. Will Hill. Hey, Will Hill's about to join us. Todd Wishnev picked UConn to beat San Diego State in the finals. It was unbelievable. The both of them this year, without talking to each other, landed on the same random Final Four pick. It's amazing. You got to listen to it. But Grayson Rossi commented, we had 2 hours, you didn't say anything about Survivor. Let me just, again, there's other people who are, let's talk Survivor. I just want to give one Survivor tidbit for those who are entering an NCAA Survivor pool. This is going to, I'm going to say it, I want everybody to lean in, it's going to be super duper obvious. But everybody who plays Survivor the first time doesn't take this into account. You ready, Kelly? Ready for this?
Yeah.
The teams that play Thursday and Saturday in the round of 64 and the teams that play Friday and Sunday in the round of 64 don't necessarily play those same days once they get to the Sweet 16. That is the single biggest, simplest Survivor advice I can give to people. Because people don't take that into account. They just assume their brain toggles to, oh yeah, it's just going to work out systematically like that. It doesn't, and it could mess up your whole Survivor pool.
Do you pick per round or per day?
Per day. Per day. Pardon
okay.
me.
Okay.
Got so emotional.
You got so emotional about it. I'm a little upset the stations won.
Last Man Standing?
Yeah.
Because they don't have an app?
Yeah.
They don't have an app for their football thing either.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly my reaction. Dude, last time I played...
I got an email from them, and I was like, Gil's been asking for a Survivor thing. Like, this will be perfect. Like, I got an email to me a couple weeks ago. I didn't realize until Fezzik was in yesterday that it was... Like, Stations, I love you, man, but I'm not going... I can't go into Stations every single day during the tournament.
Bro, the people who... Remember people kill people in circa millions in Survivor because they forget to put in their entry?
Yeah.
They're like,
oh my God,
they just you know, got rid of $1,000. Last Man Standing is $100. Like 3 years ago, I entered it and I just forgot that I did it. I was like, oh yeah, I'm already out. I lost my $100.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not going in there every week.
I'm very okay with the circa process of I need to sign up in person to start. Cool. Like I could be out there today. Tomorrow morning to sign up, but like after that, come on, let me do it on my phone.
Mel Kiper has a new mock draft, everybody. Instead of, you ready for this now? Let's just go through these, position by position. Instead of four quarterbacks, he now has five. Kelly's got five. He's got quarterback at the top. Williams, Daniels, May. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, 1, 2, 3 at the top. Then, by the way, he has wide receiver, 4, 5, 6. Marvin Harrison Jr. going to the Cardinals. Malik Nabers of LSU going to the Chargers. And Rome Odunze of UW going to the Giants. But he's got the real headline here is that 11 and 12, he now has quarterback. He does have Joe Alt as the first offensive lineman at 7, by the way. But at, at 11 and 12, he's got J.J. McCarthy going to the Vikings at 11 and Bo Nix going to the Broncos at 12. So he's gone from four quarterbacks to five quarterbacks in his latest draft. He's gone from six wideouts to seven wideouts in his latest mock. Your latest mock.
I'm getting close to betting the wide receiver over. Like, it's like almost 2-1 on the over right now, and there are so many wideouts that can end up going in this first round.
Two linebackers to three linebackers, and you say, well, where do those three come out of? Cornerbacks went from 6 to 5, and edge went from 3 to 1. The only edge he's got is your boy Verse from Florida
Verse,
State,
yeah.
Jared Verse, who, unbeknownst to him, was playing exhibition football for a full season last year. Sorry, I had to get it in. Sorry.
That was so well done. That was one of the best ones we've had.
Thank you very much.
Man.
The other
court, he's got him number 9.
You know,
so is Dallas Turner not being counted as an edge? I would say be careful with that market with draft betting this year.
Oh, yeah, be very careful. The other sort of Mel Kiper quirk, Roger Rosengarten, the offensive tackle from UW, got in the first round, 31st to the Niners. We haven't seen Rosengarten in anybody's first-round mocks.
That rookie of the year? Rosengarten!
Wide guard. Will Hill is next. Ready to dominate your brackets, turn your picks into profits this tournament with the VSiN Pro March Mania Betting Guide. Inside this guide, you'll find expert strategies, insider tips, and in-depth analysis that'll give you the edge you need to outshine the competition. From underdog upsets to championship predictions, the VSiN Pro Betting Guide will have brackets from hosts and experts, NCAA tournament betting trends, and of course, best bets for every round of the tournament. Don't miss out on this game-changing resource. Download the VSiN Pro March Mania Betting Guide today at VSiN.com/madness. That's VSIN.com/madness. Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada here at the D. Real quick before we get to Will about Mel Kiper's latest mock. Again, he's got quarterback at the top and wide out. He's got, so just adding up offense versus defense, 5 quarterbacks, 7 wideouts, and 9 offensive linemen. What's that? 21 offensive players out of 32 is what he has now.
Yeah, most books are hanging 20 and a half as the offensive player number to go in the first round.
And
I think the over's slight dog most places.
And what were you saying in the first two rounds? There's just like 20 offensive linemen
or
something?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of these mocks that I've been taking and listening to podcasts and stuff, like through the first two rounds, specifically offensive linemen and wide receivers. It's like,
oh,
I mean, it's going to be like 11 wide receivers that go in the first couple rounds. There's supposed to be like near 20 offensive linemen that go in the first 50 picks I heard someone had in a mock the other day.
He's got Brock Bowers going 10th to the Jets. By the way, I completely missed your Rookie of the Year reference. I botched that.
That's a great.
Can you explain
great,
it to people?
Great 90s what it was? Kids movie.
Because I mentioned that Kiper, first time ever, we're seeing Roger Rosengarten from UW as the 31st pick of the draft, and you were saying
Henry Rowengardner, who was the kid who broke his arm in the movie, and somehow it rebounded with miraculous strength, Gil, and he was able to pitch like 110 miles an hour.
But was that
so the Cubs signed him? Okay,
but the manager kept botching
manager
his name.
Manager could never get his name right. He's like Rowengardner, get out there.
Will Hill joins us. You're not going to botch his name, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Will?
Going on? Yeah, it was Gary Busey as the manager who had had trouble with his name, but I don't know. The Cubs seem to have circumvented a few rules, just being able to sign a kid, no draft, no anything. They just all of a sudden he's on the team the next day. I'm not sure about that.
No, even worse, Will, Busey was the over-the-hill pitcher who had to like take him under his wing. Like, we were all supposed to believe Gary Busey was like an incredible athlete.
Oh yeah, you know, you're right. It was the guy from Home Alone was the manager then, maybe.
Oh sure. Ruin rookie of the year for everybody with your
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. It's too soon. Will Hill, by the way, at not the Will Hill on Twitter. He is the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast, as well as being on Chris Felica's Bear Bets Pod Empire. Will, you got the fever? Did Virginia take the fever out of you last night a little bit?
You know, it's funny. I was wondering, I'm curious what you think about this. Do you miss it when it was no playing, and you got the bracket Sunday, and you let the anticipation build. Nothing Monday, nothing Tuesday, Wednesday. Then Thursday, it finally came. It was like Christmas morning.
It's awesome.
And you feel like the playing cuts into it a little bit, but I'd always rather have the games than not have the games. That was certainly a bore with Virginia. But look, it is what it is. That was ridiculous. I'm glad the committee kind of got what they deserved.
Yes, they did.
The tournament was completely ridiculous. Eye test metrics, nothing warranted that team being in. Everyone killed them. Everyone rightfully killed them. Just one of many mistakes the committee made. But yeah, I'm excited. It should be fun.
All right. So you were on the Megapod. I don't want to spoil the main headline because I want people to go listen to the Beating the Book Megapod and find out the team that both you and Todd, you on the heels of calling FAU to the Final Four last year on the Megapod, and Todd on the heels of calling UConn over San Diego State last year, both of you ended up landing on the same Final Four team, but we will save that for people to go listen to that. Besides that, what do you think are the headlines of your brackets?
I think that was the headline. Other than that, I feel like I'm pretty chalky. I had a hard time. Like, I ended up picking Kentucky instead of Florida. I really wanted to pick Florida, and look, I'm not married to it. Where I like. As far as giving out content, I can't pick both teams, but like as far as bets, maybe I'll play some Florida stuff to win a region, or just, you know, in some of my personal brackets have Florida, because I really wanted to go with Florida. I worried their offensive rebounding is such a big part of the team, and the big guy being hurt, and that was a gruesome injury. I worry that hurts them a little bit, but they still have really good guard play. I like Golden as a coach. I think that's a reasonable bracket. So I don't know. I'm not in love with Houston. I don't trust Purdue. I don't really love these other teams, but I'm with everybody elsewhere. I think UConn certainly got the region of death. It was very nice of the committee not to put like the Denver Nuggets in that region. I mean, I think if they could have, they would have.
What do you know? They got Jokic in the second round. That sucks.
Speaking of Jokic, just quickly, I'm curious because once the tournament starts, it's funny. By the time it ends, because it's all consuming, the NBA season is basically over. I noticed that one of the books you can parlay awards, Kelly. I'm curious if you think like parlaying Jokic, Maxi, Gobert, that gets you to plus money. Is there enough? Are we deep enough into the season where that's probably a good bet, or is somebody going to steal something?
I think we're maybe too deep into the season. I'm worried about the Maxi bet probably the most. I mean, I've got him 25-1 or something like that. I hope it gets home. But, man, that one, I just feel like everything we remember from the beginning of the season of how great he was, it's been too long now and people forget.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm looking at a can we use the word skin here? I'm looking at it, and Victor Wembanyama is down to plus 350. Just want to point that out.
I don't know. I hope so, though.
Just want to point that out. All right. You did have Yale, right? Wasn't that one of the things? Do you have Yale in the first round?
I picked Yale over Auburn. I think they can hang. I think they can maybe frustrate Auburn. They can really rebound defensively and keep Auburn from getting second chances. Obviously, Auburn's going to have a major athletic advantage, but if you can frustrate Auburn and keep the game close, and Yale, they defend well. I mean, they're super lucky to be in this game. To be down 6 with 23 seconds left and not only win the game but win in regulation is really unheard of. But I think Yale, I mean, we've seen these Ivy teams perform well in the NCAA tournament, and Princeton not only beat Arizona but buried Missouri to get to a Sweet 16. Yale beat Baylor, 8 years ago now. It's hard to believe that's 8 years ago, but these Ivies have been feisty. They're smart. They know how to play. They know their strengths. They know their weaknesses. So I did take a flyer on Yale as well.
All right, that's let's talk about your bets, your ATS bets here, pre-flop. Anything tonight in the two first four games?
Yeah, I mean, they're both on TV and they're standalone games, so you have to bet them. People that say you don't have to bet them are just incorrect. You have to bet these games. I like Colorado.
That doesn't check out well. Let me check on that while you talk.
Let's be honest. A lot of people are going to bet them. You could say, hey, be disciplined. Don't bet every game. When they're on, people are going to, even if it's, a smaller bet. I think Colorado just has too much NBA talent for Boise State. It's interesting. You worry about Colorado when they're out of their own building because the altitude is such an advantage. And when they're not home, they don't have that advantage. But both these teams are altitude teams. Boise's an altitude team as well. I think it comes down to NBA talent. Colorado's got like three guys that are going to play in the NBA. Cody Williams is going to be one of the higher picks in what is, I guess, a wide open draft in terms of who's going number one in a weaker draft. But NBA talent, NBA length, I think their shots are going to come easier. I think they'll be able to get stuff at the rim. So I do like Colorado. And I hate laying points in these 16-16 games. I feel like it's so random. Everyone loved Howard yesterday. Nobody knows anything about these teams. I'm inclined to take Grambling, probably on the money line. I think you get like plus 150, plus 160. I think they'll have an athletic advantage over Montana State. Montana State's more of a shooting team. And in these neutral venues, these unfamiliar shooting backdrops, I'd rather have a team that has the athletic advantage that can get to the rim. So I'll go Colorado money line, and I'll go Grambling plus the four and on the money line.
I'll tell you what I know about Howard, Will. Nothing like Friday afternoon on the quad at Howard University. Anything, round of 64, best bets.
What do you mean by that, by the way?
No, I don't want to get into it. Round of 64, best bets.
Can I go team total? I'll go Longwood team total under. I know there's a 52 out there, 51.5. I'm not a huge fan of Houston, but I think they're going to get Houston in a nasty mood off a horrible performance against Iowa State. Samson's a tough coach, an old school coach, so I'm sure he's going to have a week here to rub their nose in it in terms of how bad they played last Saturday. Tough practices. This can humble him a little bit. So, I mean, we've seen that line get bet out from 22 to, I think, 25 in some spots, and I'd still lay it before I took it. But I think the team total might be the better play. And if you really want to isolate it, maybe first half team total because things can get a little wonky at the end. But I think this is a game where if you're not watching and you just see the first score, 12, 15 minutes in, this could be like 38-13 Houston, something like that. I think that Houston absolutely smothers Longwood. Another one, I don't like laying points in these games. I think Baylor runs Colgate off the floor. Colgate, I think people have this perception of Colgate because the last few years they've been in this tournament. They've been competitive against the likes of Texas and Wisconsin and Arkansas. They had a big lead against. Those Colgate offenses could hang with anybody in the country. They just didn't have the athleticism to actually win the game. This year, they still have that lack of athleticism, but they don't have the offense to go with it because they're a very mediocre offense. They are they're not going to be able to hang. Baylor is going to absolutely destroy them. If you could find an alternate line where you got a fair shake, which is hard to do, like Baylor minus 24, minus 25, if you can get a fat like jumbo payout, I wouldn't be opposed to that too. I think Baylor wins it and wins it comfortably. We've seen them get bet too.
All right, two baseball rapid fire to close. Blake Snell to the Giants. As a Yankee guy, what does that mean to you?
Oh, I never thought he was going to the Yankees. I'm surprised that people were surprised. He didn't go to the, that's just not how the Yankees do business anymore. They count their pennies. They drain as much profit as they can. They really don't care about winning championships. They just want to get as many people in the ballpark, be around the playoffs, and say, hey, we tried. So not surprised at all. Never for a second thought he was going to the Yankees.
Wow. Dodgers are 1-0. They won in Korea last night, beat the Padres 5-2. What now that they're 1-0, do you feel their final record will be?
107 and 55.
We were throwing around 157 and 5 texts this morning. Like, wow, there they are. Never going to lose. By the way, Shohei on pace to go 400 batting. Just want to point that out as well. Will, thank you. Should Have Bet More is the name of the podcast, at not the Will Hill. Enjoy the tournament. We'll talk soon, sir.
All right. See you guys. Thanks for having me.
Will Hill, everybody. We'll come back. Our tennis and golf plays next. There's never been a better time to have skin in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook because right now we have a VSiN exclusive offer for new DraftKings customers. Earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager. $500 for every $1,000, Kelly. You can earn up to $2,500 worth of bonus bets in your first 3 days only on DraftKings. Don't wait, though. Download the app now. Use code ANG when you sign up and earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager now. Now. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D. We get tweets right at BD Book. Jason H11. How did Kelly do at Sigma Derby that segment where he was off?
Yeah, she's like, that's a more realistic option.
Jason, you're right. I should have looked over there. He's probably doing that. Good friend Chillionaire says, I haven't been able to handicap the Valspar yet. I'll have to check out long shots. No, you won't, because Kelly's about to do it. He said, however, do we have a weather update from the Kelly Bidlin Doppler radar?
Well, it's going to rain.
It's going to rain.
Friday, it's not looking too great. It is looking pretty ugly on Friday.
Full Valspar breakdown coming up in moments. 3JackH3131. Whoa. I just got the fact that Gil was married before? In all my years of listening, I never heard that. Should have parlayed the mention of a ex in the Kate Middleton clone theory today. That's great. This is from Master.
I could talked about that one forever, too.
Master of Puppets. That, my friend, was awesome. Made me spit out my coffee. What was that referring to?
I don't know.
Oh, maybe Jared Verse. Mike Stacks. Maybe I missed it, but did you announce how you're leaning for Survivor selections? I don't know what my Survivor selections are because I haven't even that. Today was my day to dive into it.
How many brackets have you filled out?
I'm not. Here's the deal. Felica just texted me this, too. He goes, you know what? He goes, I'm not doing any brackets. I'm not doing any brackets. I'm done with brackets. I'm doing Survivor and only Survivor.
Okay.
It's all consuming. My obsession will begin
No,
tomorrow.
But like how many brackets have you filled out just to fill out? I'm not saying for the contest.
Oh, yeah, for the show. Yeah. One bracket. Okay. You?
Like two.
Oh, no. I'm
not, I think I've done it twice.
Oh, no. I legitimately filled it out, but I'm not in any contest or anything. Trust the glove. Your incessant need to point out the growing weakness of my Gobert bet is annoying.
There's always the other side of it.
Yeah, I resemble that remark, trust the glove. Moneyline Marv, have we reached, this is a great question. Have we reached all chalk NBA Moneyline parlay season yet? By the way, the correct name for that is brain dead NBA ML parlay, Moneyline parlay season. And the answer is not yet.
Yeah.
I don't know if it exists anymore.
I think you just need to pick and choose your spots and teams. You know, I had that Pelicans bet yesterday, the Nets. I mean, if you watched any of that game, Nets pulled their starters, pulled their whoever they had on the court at the time, their best players, Gil, emptied the bench with like 4.5 minutes left. I mean, yeah, they were down like 15, 16, but like that's a lot of game time in the NBA left. Even the announcers on the game were like, this is pretty early for an NBA game, but the Nets are emptying the bench. So I think you got to pick and choose some teams. I'm not doing that yet with anybody.
It ain't like it used to be.
Yeah, it's and as you know, Will was kind of talking about. There's no Victor Wembanyama.
There's
in the draft
no Victor
either.
Wembanyama. As I joked a couple months ago, I was like, someone tell the Wizards he's already been drafted.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of funny looking at some of these mock drafts now though, because the there's like four French guys that are supposed to be drafted early.
Hey, James Sott. Yes, we made it to Bar Canada. There they are over there. How you guys doing? All right. Come down to Bar Canada whenever, y'all. We'd love to have you. All right. Tennis real quick before we get to your Valspar. I have three tennis plays. Yesterday we lost. We lost our only play. Simona Halep, back for the first time in over 18 months, was up a set, and then she started getting a shoulder issue. I guess she wasn't used to playing match play or whatever. And she was serving at like 70 miles per hour. Her only serve was like the slide. Anyway, she ends up losing in three. She couldn't get to the finish line. But Dosa was also limping at the end, too. So it was just attrition. And we lost that one. So we got three today. And I feel like, Kelly, we were just talking about this off air. I feel like, and Drew had this reaction yesterday. I was like, yeah, it started. Miami started yesterday. I feel like no one's betting this tournament yet. It's still like an Indian Wells hangover. These lines are all still there for you. Katie Valinets, our old friend Katie Valinets, got her at -115 versus Sophia Kennan, the former Australian Open champ. Valinets is about -120 right now, consensus. I'd still play it. Valinets value on the faster courts here in Miami than they were at Indian Wells, but I got Valinets at -115 over Sophia Kennan. And then a couple dogs, one longer than the other. Nadia Podoroska beat Ashlyn Kruger in three recently, and she comes in here at +195. That number's not got good. Not just because of that head-to-head, but her numbers on hard courts are just better in every which way, in every sort of parameter. So Podoroska at +195 over Ashlyn Kruger is the long shot. And then I'm taking a shot on Angelique Kerber. She's these are the battle of two former slam champs. Kerber's at +129 against Sloane Stephens. This is more in the Halep-Bedosa nebulous category of, you know, Kerber had a really, both of these players sort of showed up for the first time this year, both at Indian Wells. So there is some vagueness to who shows up here in this tournament. Sloane Stephens has a good history at the Miami Open, but Kerber beat a couple really good players at Indian Wells. And so she is capable here. She shouldn't be quite a plus 129 dog. So I'm taking a flyer on Kerber here at plus 129 against Sloane Stephens. So Volley Nets is the short favorite. And then Podoroska is the big dog. That's Podoroska, Nadia Podoroska. And then Angelique Kerber as the short dog against Cutie Pie Sloane Stephens. What do you got? Golf.
Valspar.
I'll go
NBA real quick. I do have one bet tonight over in Bucks and Celtics. I would not make it, though, right now. Giannis did get ruled out of this game this morning. Kind of a little concerning there, Gil. A hamstring. Two straight games now. Giannis has missed against kind of big-time opponents. Uh-oh. They did win on Sunday without him, though. So, and then JVT, I got close to betting that Memphis side, too. It is a big number that they're catching in Golden State tonight. And they've been kind of feisty, but I think I'm going to stay away. I can't bring myself to bet that. Valspar Championship. Head over to the west coast of Florida this week. I love this tournament. It's a great tournament. It does look like the weather's going to be kind of gross on Friday and Saturday. So this course always plays very tough. Innisbrook Resort, Copperhead course there. Right in Palm Harbor, Florida. This does play tough. You add the weather in, this could be really, really brutal on Friday. This is already fairways 27.5 yards wide. That is very narrow for PGA Tour. You've got near 4-inch rough that you got to contend with off the fairway. Distance basically taken out of account off the tee here this week with how this course is set up. You're looking for very accurate guys off the tee, big-time second shot course heading into some greens that are actually fairly easy to putt on. You just got to get there. As far as bets for me this week, outrights went pretty light. Tony Finau, Doug Gim, and Keith Mitchell for me this week in the outright markets. Top 10 did go to the top of the board here, Xander and Sam Burns. Sam Burns has won this event twice in the past 3 years as a top 10 finish the other time. This is like his course. His play a little bit erratic right now, so I'm just going with a top 10 bet on him here, hoping that he finds some comfort coming back to this course. Schauffele, I don't really know what to do with him, Gil. I mean, he is number one rated across all my stuff.
I don't really know what to do with him.
I don't think you can't bet him in the outright market at the number he's at. He's like at 7-1.
Hope you've learned your lesson, young man.
Is that like 7-1? Here's the thing, though. I'm okay with going back to a top 10 because, as everybody likes to joke, the dude's used to losing by now. So I don't really think he's going to be mentally in a bad way heading into this tournament.
That's right. It's not like it's any different.
Yeah, it's not like it's new. You know, like Wyndham Clark, that maybe like hurt him.
I barely missed winning a tournament. Jeez, I don't know how I'm going to handle that. Right. Like you do every week.
Thank you, Gil. Yeah. So that was my rationale where I thought like top 10 bets don't work this week. Yeah. As far, you know, as well as being my top-rated guy. Top 20s went Finau, Gim, Aaron Rye, Keith Mitchell. This is where I have the most money sunk into.
You love Gim and Mitchell. Your model loves those two guys.
Doug Gim has been hit top 25 five straight tournaments for him. I will keep betting that in top 10 on Scottie Scheffler until things start to change. Doug Gim, a lot of golf handicappers, been waiting for this time for his game to really kind of flip on here. And he's playing well recently. So top 20s on all those guys. Finau didn't play at Bay Hill a couple weeks ago. There was a lot of questions kind of about that. I don't really have a lot of answers except for stats-wise. He ranked pretty high for me this week. I think because he didn't play in that tournament, you're getting a little bit longer odds than you would normally on him this week. So I'm trying Finau this week. We'll have to see how that works out. A couple tournament matchups for me. Finau over Sungjae. Sungjae has not had a great season so far. And then Gim over Christian Bezuidenhout.
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 Here, Matt Brown screaming that in the background.
That's right.
Serious question. How many golfers do you think when they're making their schedule look at Valspar and they say to themselves, self, is that during the first round of March Madness? There's no chance I'm playing that tournament. How many do you think honestly make that decision? They're like, I'd rather watch basketball than play in this.
It's a good question.
There's got to be a handful.
Well, there's also like, it's not, if you subscribe to, you don't like, good golfers don't like to look bad. This is a tough course, too.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, they're like, yeah, there might be. There might be a few out there.
And how many now with the weather are like, I wish I hadn't have submitted.
Especially get the players out of the way over these next 3 weeks, you will see just sparse fields until we get to the Masters.
Masters, let's get March Madness first and then the Masters. What a great time of year. 24 hours away, y'all. We'll be back with Dr. Bob, among others, tomorrow. Gojo and Golic are next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.